Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It. Pop pass up the middle.
Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15, 10. Hit. Hit in. For an Oilers touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In, oh, to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, heard 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing. ESPN app on a gorgeous summer day in Central New York. Now, we were supposed to be here yesterday, and we were not here yesterday. Last-minute cancellation without getting into too many details. Thankfully, everything is great, but I would appreciate if the blockheads out there could send some good vibes out to Mama Sharon. You know my mom. We talk about Sharon a lot on the show. She had a little scare yesterday. Everything's fine. Want to reiterate right off the top here. Everything is great. She's fine. She's home. She's resting comfortably. Everything's good. Just a little scare yesterday, so that's why Uncle Brent was not here to do the show, but what I wanted to say yesterday, amongst many things, is it's August, it's football time, and while we've still got some time off coming, while we've still, you know, it's still summer, and we still have these gorgeous days, like, to get into the meat and potatoes of training camp, as we're going to do on the show today, hear from the head coach. Tomorrow, they're at practice, and a few days from now, they'll be in pads, and just kind of that August routine we get into, football, 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 but a few things left over from the weekend as well, but yesterday was August 1st, so kind of everything we wanted to say about that yesterday, we'll kind of say on today's show. And if you are listening wherever you are on a gorgeous day, that's great. Those are all terrific ways, especially if you're at the beach. And I know technically in Syracuse we're at the beach is up for argument. I mean, there are literal beaches here, just not like, you know, the beach. Maybe you're at like a real beach, listening on the ESPN app. That is terrific. But enjoy those summer days, friends. As Uncle Brent likes to remind you, summer's just killing time till football season. And we're going to have plenty of football to get into today. So we hope you're listening. We hope you're watching on QSportsTalk.com. A few things we'll say for our Q Sports Talk friends, because they get their own show in a way. When the radio audience is in commercial break, we keep the mic and the camera on for QSportsTalk.com viewers. And they're humming along in the chat throughout the show, and we're going to save a couple things for them, including something I didn't get to yesterday either, the visit by the pizza man, one Dave Portnoy, on Friday, and how everybody was, you know, freaking out wouldn't be the right way to put it somewhere, but the buzz, how about that, created by a visit from a man who reviews pizza places. I'm just glad he went to one particular pizza place, because if he didn't, the whole thing would be invalidated. Just invalidated in my mind. So I'll have some fun with that. And so much more, as we say in the radio business. If you'd like to be a part of it, we mentioned the live chat at QSportsTalk.com. That's a great way to opine as much as you'd like throughout the show. You can also give us a call, of course, at 437-7644. Hit me on Twitter, Brent X Media. So we mentioned Dino Babers at the podium today. We're going to play back some of the key things that he said today in his first meeting with the media of training camp 2022.
Thanks, Brent.
Welcome, Coach. There's one thing in particular, he said, that I will get into before we go through the clips later that I think was the most important thing he said, not only today, but will probably define Syracuse football season. It is Major League Baseball deadline day. We are 2 hours away, less than 2 hours now away from the deadline. The biggest deal that can be made has been made. Juan Soto to Pauly Sabilia's San Diego Padres. Eric Hosmer, who's now a member of my Boston Red Sox. Why even bother? Like, just sit it out. If the biggest move you're going to make, and we got a little time left here, but if that's going to be the headline from deadline day, Eric freaking Hosmer, Tommy Pham, like, just sit it out. Just don't even bother, right? But Eric Hosmer, there was about 5 minutes there where his no-trade clause was going to deny Pauly Sabilia a generational talent for his San Diego Padres. But it did not happen. Something good happened to Pauly. How about those Padres? Huge move. Great haul back for the Washington Nationals as well. Speaking of the Nationals, it gives me no pleasure to say this. I wrote a column about it, which has generated some interesting reaction from people that want their hand held and want to sing about sunshines and rainbows all the time. Patrick Corbin, CNY native, is literally the worst pitcher in baseball. And I'm not just saying that as like some startling statement here. Statistically, by every measure, he's the worst pitcher in baseball. There was some thought he would be included in that Soto deal, but certainly that is not going to be the case. So we'll get into both of those things. The mighty National Football League chugs on, even with a pretty significant tampering scandal. And, of course, the fallout that continues from the Deshaun Watson decision that was announced yesterday. We'll go on the blind side later on in the program and everything that you'd like to get into throughout the program. But we start here with training camp underway. They'll hit the field tomorrow. Dino Babers at the podium first today. Now, of all the things he said, this to me was the most significant. Let's take a listen.
Justin will not play this year. Okay. He's right now at the point where he's starting to jog and he looks good. We want to make sure that his rehab is extremely thorough, like we do with all our players. So there's a, he could come back and be a shaky leg guy this year. That's not what we want. We've got high hopes for him, and we're going to bring him back in the spring and give him a full year of recovery, and that'll make him extremely strong going into the 2023 season.
That's Dino Babers today on Justin Lamson. Now, that is by no means breaking news. We knew that an injury was going to take him out for a significant period of time. The thought, the reports, all indications were that he would not take the field this year. But Babers confirmed that today. Okay. You needed that confirmation. Maybe there was a glimmer of hope. We're going to let him work his way back. That's why you ask the coach. Typically, football coaches are pretty tight when it comes to injury information. But he shut the door there. This is less about Justin Lamson and more about the importance of the backup quarterback at Syracuse University. Because as Dino Babers also said today at the podium, there is no doubt that Garrett Schrader is the starting quarterback, that he will get all the first team reps. There's not going to be a split. There's not going to be, you know, a glimmer that Dan Villari or Carlos Del Rio Wilson or Jacobian Morgan can work their way into first team. Garrett Schrader is the guy, which I like. I think, as we have seen in many years, it's one thing when an injury forces a quarterback into action, but when it's a competition, it kind of gets into that old, well, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks thing. I think last year was a circumstance where it benefited both quarterbacks to be in the action, and it, look what happened. DeVito was ineffective. Schrader stepped right in, and Sally, you want about the lack of passing numbers, and I've said plenty, they were on the doorstep of a bowl game. So there is some hope there, and we've talked extensively, of course, about the additions of Robert and I and Jason Beck to the offense. But Uncle Brent is here to remind you, friends, that the most important position on Syracuse football's roster is the backup quarterback. Well, thanks for that breaking revelation. The backup quarterback's important. Woo! How long did you think about that one? It's especially important in Syracuse, New York, friends. It's especially important for Syracuse football. This goes before Babers, into the Scott Schaefer era, and you can even say before that. The last starting quarterback for Syracuse football that pretty much went start to finish, and the only time he came out of the game was because garbage time, just game in hand, let's not get the quarterback injured, was Ryan Nassib in 2012. The last quarterback that pretty much went his career without any major injury situations was Ryan Nassib. That is a decade ago. Since then, and it's not always the quarterback's fault, Syracuse has certainly had its struggles on the offensive line, so that needs to be put into the conversation, and certainly offensive line was an important piece of the discussion today. We'll play back what Babers said about that later in the show. But let's just take a stroll back through recent history, friends, and the importance of the backup quarterback. It's a good feeling that camp will open tomorrow and Garrett Schrader is the undisputed starter, that he is the guy, he is the quarterback. Now, there is some good buzz about Carlos Del Rio Wilson, but he just got here and wasn't in spring ball. That's a lot to make up and to know an offense and to legitimately compete, but the future could be bright there. Lampson looked great in the spring game, and I get what the spring game is, but there's certain physical attributes a quarterback has. You could say, all right, wait a minute, hold on a second. That guy can throw the football. There's some aspects he brought to the offense that maybe Schrader didn't show enough of last year, and you're kind of excited that somebody could push. He gets hurt, he's out. Jacobian Morgan's been on the field. He has the most experience of any of the backups, but there's a reason he's a backup, and again, Dan Villari falls into the mystery category right now until we can see what he can do and go out there and earn the job. They brought him and Carlos Del Rio Wilson in for a reason. And the reason is this. All I got to do is look at last year. Tommy DeVito, undisputed starter. Now, there was some question marks there. They had brought in Schrader as a transfer. The competition was a good thing, but at this time last year, it was his team. With Schrader there to push a little bit. I think we all knew DeVito was going to start, but it felt like a competition. Schrader came in, took over for an ineffective DeVito, and like we said, put him on the doorstep of a bowl game. Backup plays. 2020 was a combination of DeVito, Rex Culpepper, Jacobian Morgan, both for ineffectiveness and injury. The backup plays. 2019, Tommy DeVito, Clayton Welch. Clayton Welch had to come in the last game of the year and save the day, and even before that, had to take over for a Tommy DeVito in the 2019 season, which had such hype and expectation following the 2018 season, the last great season Syracuse football had, of course. A lot of that was due to injury, but the backup played. Even in the mighty 2018 season, the 10-win season, the warm and fuzzy feelings that Syracuse football fans go back to, Tommy DeVito had to come in and save the day against North Carolina and had to supplement Eric Dungy at times that season. 2017, Eric Dungy, Rex Culpepper, Zach Mahoney all got on the field. Dungy's team, but Dungy's style left him open to injury, left him open to, at times, reckless play, let's be honest, that the backup had to be on the ready. The backup quarterback at Syracuse plays. In 2016, Eric Dungy was certainly the quarterback, but remember, in that last game of that season, a record-setting game, a 76-61 matchup between Syracuse and Pittsburgh, which I believe has been eclipsed, but at the time was the highest-scoring game in the history of college football, Zach Mahoney was the quarterback for Syracuse in that game. 2015, Terrell Hunt, Eric Dungy, Zach Mahoney, Austin Wilson, all on the field at some point in time at quarterback for Syracuse. Dungy taking over for Terrell Hunt way before he was supposed to. Looked like to be the heir apparent, this talent that Tim Lester, we're going back to Tim Lester times, brought in from the West Coast. Terrell Hunt gets hurt, and okay, kid, you're up. 2014, Terrell Hunt, A.J. Long, Austin Wilson all took the field for Syracuse football. 2013, remember the Terrell Hunt, Drew Allen, air quotes, competition, which quickly did not become a competition at Syracuse? Drew Allen, couple of games, Terrell Hunt comes in for Syracuse and leads them to a bowl game. The backup will play or will eclipse the starter. The guy you don't think is going to be the starting quarterback or maybe is in the shadow, has to earn the job, will get on the field. That is a decade of the backup will play. Now, I didn't do an analysis of every ACC team, every Power 5 football team here. Even the best quarterbacks have had to step aside due to injury or other circumstances. The really good ones have not. The only reason they would be out would be injury. Maybe this is common in other places, but I don't cover other places as closely as I cover this place. And it's Syracuse, New York, in the newly named JMA Wireless Dome. Syracuse football's backup quarterback will play. I wish I could bet on it in Vegas. Either by injury or ineffective play by the starter, the backup will play. And right now, the backup quarterback is a giant question mark. This is unequivocally the most important thing that has to be finalized in camp. I'm sure they have a sense, an idea of where they're going and what their depth chart looks like, but it needs to be resolved. There needs to be a plan. There needs to be a similar plan in place if, God forbid, for Syracuse's standpoint, Garrett Schrader goes out there and can't throw the football. Now, it was Sean Tucker, of all people, today who said he's excited about Robert and I's offense because they're going to throw the ball. The plan is in place, the energy that's there, the pedigree that's there, there's still a question. I think it is fair for me or anybody else to say there is a question on whether Garrett Schrader can execute that. And look, I'm going to say this right here. Go read Nate Mink's story and watch Scott Trimble's video that's up on Syracuse.com today. I'm not just shamelessly plugging Syracuse.com there. That video is great. The story is great. Gives you a sense of who Schrader is. And hopefully the new coaches will bring out the best in him throwing the football, and this will all be a moot point. And for the first time since 2012, 10 years ago, Syracuse will have a start-to-finish starting quarterback that leads a team to a bowl game, and the backup is merely in because it's garbage time. With Syracuse's really tough schedule this year, I think the opportunities for that are few and far between. UConn and Wagner are the only two games where I think that's possible. And there's always that one game that swings one way or the other that you don't expect. The offensive line brings back a lot of experience. The offensive line, I think, is as good as it's been under Dino Babers. Hopefully that will not be an issue. I mean, one of the things that plagued Tommy DeVito, to be fair, was he was running for his life. There was a two-year stretch there where Syracuse gave up more sacks than anybody in the country. That has to be brought into the equation here for sure. God forbid something happens to Sean Tucker. He is such an essential part of your offense that you may be forced to throw the ball more than you want to or need to based on injury. It's football. Things happen. The backup quarterback plays at Syracuse, and the backup quarterback is still unsettled as training camp begins. By the time, about a month from today, Syracuse and Louisville is just about a month from today, that game kicks off, that picture needs to be clear because whoever that quarterback is will get on the field in 2022, one way or the other. And on that note, we break, and we will return, and we will switch gears a little bit, talk some baseball. You're certainly welcome to jump in on this at 437-7644 in the chat at QSportsTalk.com as well. But it is Major League Baseball deadline day, and we're going to track what's happening, update you on the big moves, but no bigger move. No matter what happens, I'm pretty confident to say, before the deadline at 6 p.m. and what comes out after the deadline, nothing will come within a Grand Canyon-size gap of what the Nationals and Padres did today, as we will discuss coming up next. You're on the Block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Before we do take that break, though, let's hear how the markets did today. My main man, Bill, from Lee Baldwin & Company, here to tell us that. How you doing, Bill?
Good. It was a quiet day until the close. We sold off pretty good into the close, falling 400 points. our Congress Lady Nancy Pelosi is in Taiwan, so we have increased tensions between the U.S. and China. But it was a down day, but July was a great month, so you know, a few down days aren't that bad. Diamond Dog, we had Uber as a diamond, jumping 18% on earnings, is actually cash flow positive, so it's good to see Uber coming back from the pandemic. And then on the downside, we had Caterpillar down 3%, which actually had good earnings, but just a little bit of a pullback. And that was it today. Pretty quiet.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it, sir. As always, Lee Baldwin and Company here to guide you through these crazy times. Yeah, Nancy, can I interest you in, say, Myrtle Beach, Yosemite, various other lovely summer locations you can go? Taiwan, probably not a good idea right now. Just saying, stick to sports. But in these crazy times, our friends at Lee Baldwin and Company here to guide you through so you have all the diamonds and other dogs on your portfolio. Six Flags Great Adventure, Nancy. You ever been there? Colorado's lovely. I've been there many times in the summer. Have you been to Cooperstown? I'd be happy to suggest a New York trail of sorts. Taiwan, probably not where you want to go right now for a little summer vacation. Just no. Why not? We'll break. We'll come back. You're on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. You know, someone's going to a lovely location, as producer Josh could attest to. San Diego, one of the biggest trades in deadline history. We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
That it is, friends. We welcome you back here on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Football, football, football. That's what we got for you. Because training camp kind of officially started today. They will be on the practice field for the first time tomorrow in pads and playing Louisville before you know it. So what we have from then till now, and when will then be now? Soon. Is we have sound bites. We have the coach. We have people at the podium saying things. That's what we have, in addition to kind of sort of football.
Thanks, Brent.
You're welcome, coach. Happy to do it as always. Now, let me repeat this. We led the show with it, but for those of you just hopping on board, and welcome to those of you that are, official, I think we all kind of knew this was the case, but Dino Babers confirming today somebody that really looked in line to be the backup quarterback for this team will not play this year.
Justin will not play this year. Okay. He's right now at the point where he's starting to jog and he looks good. We want to make sure that his rehab is extremely thorough, like we do with all our players. So he could come back and be a shaky leg guy this year. That's not what we want. We've got high hopes for him. And we're going to bring him back in the spring and give him a full year of recovery, and that'll make him extremely strong going into the 2023 season.
Two things here. Lamson looked great in the spring game and in spring ball, and I get it's the spring game. It's an orchestrated thing that's very vanilla, but you could see some of the physical attributes. You could see him developing as a quarterback. He made some great throws that in a spring game or live action would be great, and as I laid out in the monologue, and we'll be writing a column about for tomorrow's Syracuse.com digital website. The backup quarterback matters more than other places at Syracuse, because every year for the last decade, the backup has played significant minutes or has had to step in significant situations due to either injury or ineffectiveness. Garrett Schrader's the starter, as Dino made clear today, he's the starter and will get all the first team reps, and he will walk on the field against Louisville a month from tomorrow as the starting quarterback, but the backup matters more at Syracuse. So that is the competition to watch, to see who emerges as the backup quarterback. Dino on the pressure of year 7 at the helm.
Steve, I mean, like before I became a head coach.
I should clarify. This was not today, but I do want to play this clip. This is in a conversation with our Steve Infante, but let's play.
Steve, I mean, like before I became a head coach, all we had was one-year contracts. You could get fired after the last game. That was, I don't know, how long has I been a coach, 10, 12? That's 23 years of living a life like that, raising a family and all that kind of stuff. You can't put pressure on coaches that they don't put on themselves. And we understand how volatile our position is and the job that we do. We also understand the rewards with it. And I just feel like I feel really good about this team. You know, I hope that we have some crowds at home that can really become the 12th man and can really help us in some of those close games that we lost last year, that we've got to be on the plus side this year. But if everything works out, I think it's going to be a fun, interesting year. I don't know what that entails. I don't know if that's, you know, bowl season or not a bowl season. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting as hell. And we've got personnel and we've got people. And it's going to be fun.
There you have it. So that was with a chat with our own Stephen Fonte from Orange Nation and News Channel 9. Back to what Baber said today. Tight ends. Throwing to tight ends. Don't give me false hope here now.
Well, first of all, you know, we've got Maximilian's coming back. Steve Mahar's coming back. We think that those guys know exactly what we're going to get. And then, of course, we've got Chris Elmore. You know, so that's a room. Those two guys have played a lot of football. And Steve Mahar is extremely talented. So if we get development out of him and those three guys settle down, we should be okay.
I don't know. Color me skeptical because they don't utilize the tight end of the offense. Maybe Robert and I and Jason Beck will. Got to leave a little window of hope open there. But when you've had the level of pass-catching tight ends on this team in recent years, Aaron Hackett and Luke Benson notably, that were ignored in the passing game, as I said to somebody earlier, I'll believe it in the sense that I'll believe in Bigfoot when he walks in this room and kisses me on the lips. Okay? I'll believe Syracuse throws the ball to the tight end consistently and as much as they should when I see it. Where will the offensive explosiveness come from this season?
If Schrader and Sean makes all the explosive plays next year, I mean this year, and we win, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I don't think you need to necessarily say you got to go out and find all these other guys. Now, it's open, and we're looking for people that want to put their name on the dance card. But those guys are explosive. When you have a quarterback that can make plays and you have an All-American tailback, you know, you better make sure that those two guys touch the ball a lot. And then whoever wants to be next, okay, they need to do their part. So it's okay. We'll find some guys, but those two guys are already a lot. Okay? Thank you, guys.
There he is. So that's how Dino ended the press conference today. A few more things before he ended it, and he brought this up. The best teams are what, Coach?
The best football teams are players-led teams. As much as coaches want to get up and say this and say that, and don't worry, we got our fingers on it. But when you raise a family, you got your mom, you got your dad, but whoever the oldest is in the family, unless you're single born, unless whoever the oldest in the family is teaching all the other brothers and sisters what's right, what's wrong, what they can get away with, what in the heck they're going to get in trouble for, there is absolutely no doubt. And that's what leaders have to do in here. I mean, the guys that know what's going on has got to grab the younger guys underneath their wings and make sure they don't make simple mistakes, okay? And that's the atmosphere of a really good culture.
I have not heard this clip, but I sense a hippos and elephants reference coming on the offensive and defensive line.
Regardless of all the things that we've been able to do or the things we haven't been able to do, we haven't had a stable offensive line. And since you know when, I'm not going to bring it up. And it's frustrating for me. And it's God's will. I mean, it's not like somebody's doing something wrong. But if this is the season where it all works out and we can keep our top seven, the guys there, you know, let's go. I didn't say five. If I could just play with seven, I'd be really happy with what was going to happen. With our with the hippos, you know, with our D-line, we're young. But those guys are crazy. And we got a lot of them. And, you know, they're just full of energy. They're just like a young puppy instead of an old dog in a house, man. And they're going to do some wrong things, but they got so much energy that they're going to fall into some right things, too. And with the veteran linebackers and the veteran and a lot of secondary guys behind them that we think are really good, we think we've upgraded there, it'll be interesting. But that'll be the key of the season. It always comes down to the O-line and the D-line.
We had a hippos reference. By the way, you mentioned young dogs in there. Shout out to Blaze, who heads to the vet tomorrow for that procedure that boy dogs get. I just can't even think about it. It's a sleepover. That's what we tell the dog. You're going to the vet for a sleepover, but you're really getting neutered. Sorry, buddy. That's gonna be a tough one. Listen, bud. That's the way it goes. Okay. Bob Barker told me you gotta spay and neuter your pets. So it's a sleepover. You have a sleepover, and when you come home, you're gonna be missing something. That's the way it goes. Sorry, buddy. Anyway, I thought of that because he said young pups in there, but a couple more things. I don't know how I go from that back to some quotes from a football coach, but how about we do that? What is Babers excited about for this upcoming training camp?
Looking to see how the guys have changed their bodies, looking to see where they're at, look to see how much they can grow in the next 30 days before the first game, and then how we can bring it together all as a team. That's exciting, to see where, to put the finishing touches on the throwing game. To see where this defense is going to end up. I mean, this defense was ranked in the top 25 last year. And, I mean, it would be highly ranked if we had the defensive line coming back. But that's okay. Let's see where we can go with it. And then, I've said this before. I'll say it again. You got Sean Tucker's better. And I'm not trying to pump him up. I'm saying that modestly. He's better. And to his credit, he's stronger. He's faster. He's really learned the playbook. To know what he's going to do, and it's going to be fun. That's why I said the key is the offensive line. If we keep our offensive line together, we'll line up and play.
Always key for Syracuse in what we brought up with the backup quarterback, certainly generally with this new offense coming in, which remember, the key with Robert and I and Jason Beck's adjustments to the offense is how quickly they have to bear fruit because of how tough the schedule is and how critical it is for Syracuse to stockpile wins in the first half of the season. Because the back end of that schedule, that one stretch where they play four straight ranked teams, you know how tough the schedule is. Okay, this narrative has taken hold because it's true. Any way you look at it. So Syracuse's ability to come out, and I don't know if the plan is to kind of ease into it, and then once you see some success, then open up more things in the game plan, streamline it as best you can. But Robert and I and Jason Beck were brought in to make an immediate difference, to make Garrett Schrader a better quarterback and throw in the football and to bring some life to this offense, which was the Sean Tucker show last year and will be the Sean Tucker show again, but hopefully with some more co-stars this time around. That has to pay immediate dividends, and that is not going to happen unless that offensive line is good, and a key in that will be Matthew Bergeron, and Dino Babers here on him.
He has taken command of that offensive line. First of all, he's matured beyond his years. The way he came onto the scene was amazing. He was a guy that replaced a guy that decided he didn't want to play anymore in the middle of the season, and he comes on and he plays the first game, and we're like, then he plays the second game. I can still remember it. And I'm like, wow, he made a huge improvement. By the third game, he was just as good as the other guy. And by the fourth game, it was over. And I wasn't happy with some coaches. I'm like, if that guy was that good, how come we didn't know it? But he has been amazing. He has been a fabulous leader, and he's really made some of the young guys grow up. And I wish nothing but really good things for him. He's going to have an opportunity, no doubt in my mind, to go to the league. And if he can go this year, that's fantastic for him because that's good for us. And if he wants to stay one more year, I think I can find a scholarship.
I think we've got – this is on me because I haven't done this enough myself. And I'm planning on talking to him after practice tomorrow, so I could probably add a little bit to this from Matthew himself. But when you go down the list of stars on this team, the names that pop, I mean, Sean Tucker's at the top of that list. Mikel Jones is right there, all ACC linebacker. Garrett Williams, Deuce Chestnut. You have to include Garrett Schrader in that conversation in sense of being the quarterback. We do not mention Matthew Bergeron enough, and it's one thing that we don't. I find it interesting. I tweeted this yesterday. I believe it's Jim Nagy. Is it Nagy or Nagy? But he runs the Pro Bowl, or not the Pro Bowl, pardon me. He runs the Senior Bowl. And he is always tweeting tidbits about NFL-level players and who could be at the Senior Bowl and does a really good job throughout the year just kind of highlighting some of those best players. And he put it out there yesterday that we are not talking enough about Bergeron as a big-time NFL prospect, and I believe he is going to really show that this year, and you hope that he does, because look, Syracuse is only missing one starter from that offensive line last year. And I know the offensive line in a couple years leading up to that hasn't been the best, but it's experienced and is as good as can be. And if Sean Tucker was doing what he was doing with a inconsistent offensive line, imagine what he can do if they can keep those hippos together left to right as reasonable as you can in the war of attrition that football becomes. Now, Dino said this, and I'll end on this note in terms of listening into what the coach said today. He talks again tomorrow after practice, and we'll certainly bring you some highlights of that. But let me find it here, because I want to be fair and look at the numbers. Because Dino says go look at the numbers, so I want to be fair and to do that. And I believe we'll discuss this, if not tomorrow, at the very least before the week is over. Okay? But Dino was asked about this narrative, if you will, that Syracuse doesn't close out games. Close games. That was a problem last year. That's not a narrative. That is a fact. They could not close out some games they should have last year. Wake Forest and Clemson come to mind immediately. Florida State was not their fault because of that ridiculous non-holding call on Florida State. So I'll give you that one. They did beat Virginia Tech in the final minute. A lot of cardiac Cuse games last year, a lot of close games, but let's listen to what Dino said, and I certainly understand why he would defend himself, and he's fair to say, go look at the numbers, but it would have been better if he gave us the numbers in this sense. Let's listen.
If you go back and check my whole record, one of the reasons I'm here is because we do close games, and that's the key to having a good season. Now, we were not good last year at it, and I will nod my head with you to that. But if you check the record, that's exactly what we do. You find a way to win close games, and that's the way you have outstanding seasons.
Now, does he mean his entire record as a coach going back to his previous stops? Does he mean just Syracuse? I think I need a little clarification on this. So go back and look at the record. Check the record. What's defined as a close game? There's a lot of provisions to this, but he did admit it there because there's no getting around it. Last year, they were not good. They were not good in close games. They didn't close enough close games. That's obvious because they didn't make a bowl game. If they had closed enough close games, they would have won 6 or 7, and we'd be having an entirely different conversation about this upcoming season than the one we are now. So, again, what defines a close game? Where do we draw the line? Is it under 7 points in the fourth quarter? Like, what does that entail? But without looking at numbers, the narrative is you don't do it. And a big part of this is not narrative either. This is stone cold, I shouldn't say fact, but I think educated analysis. Some of the decisions that Dino Babers made in those situations last year were questionable at best. The Wake Forest game, the Clemson game, not kicking a field goal before halftime. There were special teams mistakes. There were breakdowns. Just too many mistakes in close games. Not all of it on the coach. Players are taught not to do these things and make mistakes in key situations, but I feel like Dino, he's going to defend himself, and he says, look at the record. And that's fair, and I will do that. To come back and say, you know what, he's right. Maybe we're exaggerating this a little bit, but certainly the narrative right now, the what have you done for me lately narrative right now, is you don't close games. Because if you did, you would have been in a bowl game last year. And this is not even a discussion or a question up for debate. Nobody's asking about it because it's just stone-cold proof. Look at last year. We won 3 of those 4 close games. We won 7 games, went to a bowl game. Why even asking me this? It's not what happened. It came up short. That's the stinging feeling of so close yet so far away, of being right there but not getting across the finish line. Because I said this after the final game last season and a few times since then, and I'll say it again now as we go to break. The problem with woulda, coulda, shoulda is it dissolves. And the stone-cold facts take hold. And the stone-cold fact is they went 5-7 last year. Yeah, but, no, there's no buts. There's no woulda, coulda, shouldas. They went 5-7. That's it. That's what we know. That's what the record says. It woulda, coulda, shoulda me all day. If you were good in close games, and again, I'll be fair and look at the record, but last year you weren't good enough, and that's why we're in this situation now, where there's heat on his seat, one winning record in 6 years, and even with as tough of a schedule, and that's going to become the excuse. I can feel it now. Hey, big boy football, you play tough schedules. But that's going to be the lean-on excuse if they don't make it this year across that finish line and win six games. Last year it was, oh, man, they were soaked. We were right there. Well, okay, but you didn't get there. I hate to be that harsh, but the numbers can be harsh, and that's something we're going to discuss next. And I get no pleasure in shining a spotlight on this, but it has been a stunning fall from grace for Central New York native CNS grad Patrick Corbin to the point where he is literally the worst pitcher in baseball. And when you look at some of the numbers and the trends here, they are eye-popping. We'll talk about it next.